The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
We have two guests with us to talk about what's next. Sure, we're in quarantine right now, and a lot of people are staying at home and doing their thing, trying not to even go shopping. But what happens? How do we get back to life as we knew it? Because it seems to me, with my little brain, if we go back out after they tell us it's okay, then we'll just start infecting people. Those who didn't have coronavirus did the right thing. Now they'll be victimized the next time. I've got a couple of experts much smarter than I am to talk about this. Dr. Rajiv Shah is a guest who goes by Raj. He is president of the Rockefeller Foundation and has served as administrator to the U.S. Agency for International Development, where he led the U.S. response to the Ebola crisis in West Africa. Dr. Paul Romer, who goes by Paul, or Dr. Romer, is a professor at New York University and is joining us. He is the 2018 Nobel Laureate in Economics. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us. Good to have you on the air.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
All right. I'm going to start with the economist of you. Talk about this. Unprecedented. Not been through things like this before. This has got to be hurting as we extend it beyond the initial April all the way to the end of April. And then they've got to see, as they say. Give us the overview for what's going on and the pressures to get things back going.
Yep. Well, one of the first things to remember is that uncertainty is like acid that just eats away at willingness to invest. So to restore our economy, to get people to make plans, to invest, to restart businesses, to reopen them, people need confidence about the path we're going to follow. And my fear is that we're going to be stuck in a long process of, well, let's start loosening things up, and oh no, we're going to shut things down again, and you know, the back and forth and uncertainty here is going to be just a disaster from the economic recovery point of view. So we articulated this plan of test and isolate because it's something that we know we can implement and we know we can stick to it for as long as it takes to get to either a cure or a vaccine. And we know this is not something where you have to kill more people to recover. This is something that can actually do an even better job of controlling the pandemic as it lets people go back to work.
Dr. Shah, do I have to wear a scarlet patch that says I haven't had COVID, so if I go out in public, I'm a bad guy, or and I could be victimized, and somebody else has to wear a different pin, and we have to be tested every single day to make this work?
Well, you don't have to be victimized, and you don't have to wear a scarlet pin, but we do need very widespread, massive access to testing. First and foremost, testing just to know, do you have the virus? And if so, remember, most cases are going to be asymptomatic, which means people don't have a fever, they don't show symptoms, and yet they can transmit the virus to their family, to their friends, to their work colleagues. So we really do have to know if you're positive, you can self-isolate. And people in America, I think we're all in this together. People are going to do the right thing if they know they have the virus. They're going to stay at home, take care of themselves as best they can, and protect others from that exposure. We also have the opportunity to do antibody testing, and that would identify those people who've potentially had the virus and built up some immunity and are therefore potentially safer to go out into the economy, be part of the healthcare response, be part of the frontline response, and do so with increased safety relative to people who have not had such exposure and built up that immunity. In both cases, massive access to testing will enable us to get beyond having these two bad choices. either shut down the economy, stay at home and survive, or reopen the economy, go to work, and put lives at risk. We need a third way, and this is a third way that we think is an important and viable investment for America to make right now.
But again, if
Larry, let me try and explain why we don't need to worry about this being kind of like Big Brother and oppressive and all of that. What's the first way to get started with this? The very first thing to do is to say to everybody who works in the healthcare system, we're going to give you enough access to tests so that everybody can get tested as they come on shift. You get an answer within 10 minutes if you're negative, and then you're fine to go to work. If you're positive, you know, be sure and go home, and the people will do that. They'll self-isolate as soon as they know. That way, you don't have one infected asymptomatic healthcare worker infecting his or her colleagues. Right. Same thing, we should offer this to every police officer because they have to be in frequent contact with the public. And people are not paying attention to the fact there have been 13 members of the police department and the NYPD who've died from coronavirus so far. So I think we have just a moral obligation to make enough tests available so that the police can at least be sure that the person they're sitting in a patrol car with isn't going to be the one who gives them the infection.
Right.
And
right.
After we deal with the people who are already at work, yeah, then we can start to scale it out to other people who can start to go back to work.
So you say it doesn't have to be Big Brother, but let me just read to you a story off the wire this week. Stay-at-home order violators in Palm Springs, California, will now have to pay a steep price if they get caught. The city director of emergency services showed he's ready to fine people up to $25,000 for not staying indoors or for being at non-essential places. The order he signed says the first violators face a $5,000 fine, but a repeat violation will carry the cost of between $10,000 and $25,000. There have been other stories about GPS tracking and things like that floating out there. I understand what you're saying, but there are some people who are kind of doing that.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to just jump in and be very clear that this is a huge mistake. We don't need those kinds of fines. And they create bad incentives for like localities who want resources to impose those fines. We should be thinking about just first voluntary use of this information, or maybe some carrots. Like suppose we said, you can open your restaurant business and you can take reservations, but to get a reservation, somebody has to show you they got a negative test result within the last, 24 or 48 hours. You know, that's a kind of a carrot that would encourage people to go get tested, but it's not like we got to punish people.
Yeah, you've got a mayor in Los Angeles who's rewarding snitchers if they're spotting businesses that are still open with some kind of rewards. So there isn't this carrot stick. It's, it just seems a little weird. Now, let's talk about the actual testing, because, again, if I did the right thing and self-isolated and didn't catch this, I may be locked out of employment, correct?
Well, it's probably not a risk of being locked out of employment if you didn't catch this. It's just a matter of knowing, do you have a virus and are you taking a virus to work? So the proposal we've put forth would enable every American to access a test that would, within minutes, let them know if they are carrying the virus. And if you are carrying the virus, your first instinct is going to be you're not going to want to go to work and expose others if you can shelter in place and care for yourself. Now, there are a lot of vulnerable American families right now that are unfortunately having to choose between caring for themselves when they fall ill and earning for their family who needs them because they're living paycheck to paycheck. But outside of that circumstance, it's really about self-protection and having the data to know when to take care of yourself, when to stay out of the workforce.
And Larry, I think what you're talking about is this idea of antibody testing, where somebody can show I'm immune, and then you've got antibodies to show I'm immune, and then you can go back to work. That's not what we're proposing. Think about the NYPD or the healthcare workers. We're saying show up, get a test to see if you've got the virus inside you right now. If you don't have it, then you're good to go to go back to work. So if you have been self-isolating and you're ready to go back to work, you get tested. They say you're not infected. You're good to go back to work. But by the way, we're going to have to retest frequently.
And how frequently will it have to be? Because I'm not a doctor, but if this changes on a daily basis, right? I mean, if theoretically, wouldn't you have to be tested every day?
My daughter works in an ICU in a major hospital. I think healthcare workers actually ought to be tested every day because they're exposed to so many people who are infectious. Police officers, you could probably get by with every few days. The rest of us, once every 2 weeks would be fine in terms of, you know, making sure that we're on a downward path where the pandemic is going away.
Forgotten in this, what about the other people, the grocery workers who put their lives on the line? No, we're not talking much about them other than, you know, they're out there. Shouldn't they be taken care of?
Well, I read an op-ed with Alan Garber where we actually talked about grocery workers. So, yeah, by all means, get them protective equipment. And then eventually maybe we should say that you can't come into the grocery store unless you showed that you've been tested in the last 48 hours. Yeah. That would help protect them, too.
Let me ask you this one more quick question. Disneyland is trying to figure out how the new normal is going to be. And they're talking about taking people's temperatures as they come to the park when it finally opens. Is that even a smart thing? I mean, the average person now knows that you can be asymptomatic and have no fever and spread it, and yet they want to isolate a group that does have a temperature. What about that?
Well, let me speak to that, because in Ebola in West Africa in 2014, they were doing the same kinds of things until we had testing broadly available for everybody. The reality is, no, temperature is something you do when you don't have access to testing. By the way, that's a particularly weak strategy for August onward, when a new influenza season means a lot of people will have a temperature because they have a common cold, not because they have a deadly version of COVID-19. So that is a good example of why we actually need point of service testing that is freely available to Americans at broad scale for the purpose of enabling the economy to work again and enabling people to go about their lives, as an alternative to being stuck in lockdown and as an alternative to watching hundreds of thousands of Americans perish because we haven't been able to do social distancing according to the guidelines.
How about a test before you get on an airplane, right there at the airport, right before you get on? If you show up, it's a 5-minute test, you can't get on the plane.
I agree. I think we should be thinking about, that's another example of one of these carrots, is you just get the test before you go through TSA.
Out of time, gentlemen, both of you, thank you so much for being on the program today. Very interesting. Dr. Raj Shah is a president of the Rockefeller Foundation and has served as administrator for the U.S. Agency of International Development. Dr. Paul Romer, professor at New York University and a 2018 Nobel laureate in economics. Thank you both. Very interesting.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.